Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for March 1st, Tuesday. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Yes.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting. Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Anderson,
here.
30 present.
Prayer by Senator Dockstader.
Acknowledge thy helping hand throughout this session. We appreciate and acknowledge thy assistance on matters that have been difficult to work with. We ask that as we start to conclude this session now, that thou will bless our efforts, that we'll be guided and directed in concluding this session of the legislature. For those who have difficult matters still to take care of, we pray that thou will direct them and help them along the way and provide them with the inspiration they are in need of. For our matters at home and with our families, we ask that thou will look after them, bless them with protection, guidance until such time that we can rejoin them in the coming days. We thank thee for the blessings that we have in the state of Wyoming. Thou hast blessed us with a good life here, and we acknowledge thy helping hand in that. We open this session and this day unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Meeting clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports the Journal of February the 28th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
We have no doctor, nor do we have a nurse for the day. On this day in Wyoming history, in 1942, Eleanor Roosevelt visited Cheyenne. And on this day in U.S. history, in 1873, E. Remington and Sons began the manufacturing of the first practical typewriter. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
Folks, you might always want to check your drawers. There's apparently some comedians that came through last night, and there's a variety of dead fish in around, and I had one. And I assume it came from the local newspaper, but it's the worms. But, yeah, I think we found three of them so far. I don't know how many we're supposed to be looking for. You got one.
I had one, too. I have a joint conference committee assignment here. Message 453 in regard to House Bill 107, Municipal Court Jury Trials, committee that I've appointed. Perkins. The other one is Jennings. And the other one is Ross. Again, House Bill 107, Joint Conference Committee, Perkins, Jennings, and Ross. Do we have some reports, joint conference reports? Senator Scott, are you ready in regard to message number 321 having to do with House Bill 20, Medicaid reimbursement of services. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 20, Medicaid Reimbursement of Services. Reference Senate Message Number 321. Signing for the House, Representatives Harvey, Gingery, and Shepperson. Signing for the Senate, Senators Scott, Nutting, and Perkins.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is the bill that allows the current system where if somebody in the Medicaid DD program is going to take care of a family member, they have to form a corporation of some kind, an entity to do it. That's the current system. It seems to be both improving the quality of services and keeping the costs under control. And what happened was when we amended it, we used the words limited liability corporation. It turns out that they have to be referred to as limited liability companies. If you call them corporations, the IRS gets uptight. So you have to use the word corporation, and that's clearly what our statute governing them does. So it's really a technical correction, and that's what the conference committee did. It substituted the word company for corporation. Technical correction, and I urge the Senate to adopt the conference committee report, Mr. President.
Questions? Comments? The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on message 321 in regard to House Bill 20, and you've been asked to vote aye. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel? Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you've adopted Joint Conference Committee report on message 320, reference to House Bill 20. Senator Perkins, are you ready on message number 289 having to do with Senate file 15? I'd like to have that read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 15, Court Jurisdiction, Reference House Message Number 289. Signing for the House, Representatives Gingery, Kraft, and Nicholas. Signing for the Senate, Senators Perkins, Christensen, and Esquivel.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report to Senate File 15, representing House Message 289, and ask for your favorable consideration. This is the bill that went back, and as a part of the process of the interim work of the Joint Judiciary Committee, Mr. President, we went back and reviewed, and in cooperation with the Supreme Court of Wyoming, modified the jurisdiction of circuit courts to extend that and raise it. What we did in our bill here in Senate File 15 was we had raised it to $50,000 of jurisdiction for the circuit courts, and the $5,000 and maintain the current $5,000 jurisdiction for the small claims court. When it went to the House, they initially raised it to $100,000, and then ultimately, when it came out of the House, they had dropped it back to $60,000 and $6,000 for the jurisdiction. We met with them, we talked to them, we talked with the Supreme Court and others, and ultimately we came to the resolution. We just met in the middle, so we maintain the current court jurisdiction, circuit court jurisdiction, as the bill went from the Senate at $50,000, and we adopted the House's amendment to raise small claims court to $6,000, We thought that was fine. It's been 5,000 for a few years now, and so even just keeping up with inflation, an increase to $6,000 seem appropriate. So with that, I'll stand for questions, and if not, I'll call for the question and ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Any questions or commentary? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on message number 289 in reference to House Bill Senate File 15, and you've been asked to vote aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings? Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee report on message 289 in reference to Senate File 15. We have some concurrence. Senator Hastert, are you ready for message 446 in regard to Senate File 132? I'd ask that be read in at this time, please.
February the 28, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 446, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 132, strangulation of a household member. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 34, noes 25, excused 1. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 446 on Senate File 132 and ask for your favorable vote, ask for an aye vote. What they did over in the Senate, or excuse me, over in the House committee was in the Judiciary Committee, they changed on page 2, lines 22, where it says, purposes of this section, household member means as defined, except. And they went to the other way. Instead of saying except, it says it includes. It's the exact same list, Mr. President. If you look, it's A through D in G and H. It still removes the exact same sections that we had out. They just changed it from an exception to an inclusion. And then because it's a dating relationship bill, just strictly with the dating relationships, they took out that section B on page 2, lines 10 through 15. And it's just really because it's, you know, what it is just for dating relationships. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Comments? Questions? Motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 132. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call a roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer? Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote. Closing Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 132. Senator Esquivel, are you ready in reference to message 441?
I am, Mr. President.
I'd ask that be read in at this time.
February the 28th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message number 441, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 124, overweight and oversized vehicle penalties. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 52, noes 7, excused 1. Listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move message number 441 to Senate File 124 and ask for your favorable, ask for an aye vote. For those of you, just go back a little bit, you all know that our highways are deteriorating somewhat, and it's caused by a lot of tractor, a lot of it is caused by tractor-trailer traffic. So this bill basically increases some of the fines, which hadn't been increased for a number of years, you know, for those vehicles found to be overweight or oversized. In 2009, there were 427 citations for oversized vehicles, and there were approximately 1,100 citations for overweight vehicles. Totally, this would be about $200,000 in fines that would go to the county school fund. When they get permits for oversized, overweight vehicles, those fees go to the Department of Transportation. Basically, it you know, it just tries to equalize some of the fines in view of some of the overweight and oversized vehicles that are going across our highways. And the statistics that I just gave you, those are just citations that the Highway Patrol has issued. Doesn't account for any citations that other law enforcement might have issued. But basically, this bill just raise the fines in a stepladder type of situation so much, depending on how overweight or how oversized the vehicle might be. The House changed some of them. I don't think they were major changes. But in terms of the gross copy, lines 11 and 12 were deleted entirely, and on page 2, line 14, basically went back to the old statute. On line 14, reinstated the zero and deleted the 1,000. You know, the fine stayed the same at $25. I think that might have been reduced. But nevertheless, the changes, I think, are some that we can easily live with. So I would ask that you vote aye. Thank you.
Senator Bebout, will you go ahead and speak?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question, and I was recalled that the debate we had on this particular bill when it was in the Senate, and there were some amendments that we put on this bill that, particularly on the high end, there was a lot of discussion about, and I thought the Senate had a pretty good position in looking at that high end, and maybe the sponsor of the bill could enlighten me a little bit about why he thinks we should cave into the House and not go with what the Senate wanted to do.
Other questions here? Senator Esquivel, we'll deal with those, and then you can stand. Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and let me see if I've got this right and if the sponsor or somebody else would correct me. But as I read that, the bill is introduced in the 0 to 2,000 overweight, put the fine from $25 to $125, which was what we felt was excessive. As it left the Senate, the language is that from 0 to 1,000 there was no fine, and just the person receives a warning, and then from 1,000 to 2,000, the fine was the old $25 fine. As I read the House amendment, the House has deleted the 0 to 1,000 warning and moved the fine from $0 to $2,000 to the $25. They didn't go back to the $125 that were in the bill as introduced. They just said as I read this, reinsert all stricken language, delete all new language, the fine from $0 to $2,000 will now be $25. And, Mr. President, that's the bill as introduced was unreasonable in this low end. Voted up or voted down on what the House did compared to the Senate, but their position is not unreasonable. And my question to responsor is, am I reading what they did accurately?
Other questions before the sponsor responds? Go ahead, Senator Esquivel, if you'd like to respond.
To the good senator from Natona, yes, I believe you are reading it accurately. And, like I said, I think maybe the changes, are something we can live with. Certainly, however, if the Senate wishes to go back and argue about some of these different levels on the fine, we could certainly do that. On the other hand, a good senator from Fremont County, talked about caving into the House. That might be one way of characterizing it. However, I don't look at it that way. I think just the fact that we've got this some of these fines up a little bit from what they used to be is a significant accomplishment in view of the fact that it's pretty difficult to raise fines in any type of legislation. So with that, I would just understandably go along with whatever the Senate decides to do on this, but I would hope that you would concur and get this legislation going. Thank you.
The motion is that the Senate do concur in regard to Senate File 124. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns? Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing vote,
aye
to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 124. Senator Esquivel, I'll talk to you about a committee after a little bit here. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, I have I know there's a couple of guests here, and one will be introduced to you in a moment, but there's also another friend here that I'd like to introduce to you, and a friend of many of you, and she has certainly worked, a past legislator, and worked hard for people around Wyoming, and I'd like to just introduce Lori Mellon over here. And welcome her to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate, Representative Millen. Members of the Senate, I would like to take a moment this morning to honor a true military professional. Major General Ed Wright has served as Wyoming's Adjutant General since May of 2003, and he will be retiring at the end of this month. So in honor of his service to our state and country, I would like to present Major General Wright with this resolution that was signed by the members of the 61st Wyoming Legislature, and I'm going to step down to this podium to make the presentation. General Wright, if you'd like to come up. This is a joint resolution honoring Major General Ed Wright, the Adjutant General of the State of Wyoming, for his service to our state, country, and world. Whereas Major General Wright assumed command of the Wyoming National Guard in May of 2003 and has announced his retirement date of March 31st, 2011, and Major General Wright, Ed Wright, joined the U.S. Army at the invitation of the President of the United States in 1970 and served overseas in Germany for 2 years as a computer operator. He joined the Wyoming National Guard in 1980 and completed the Wyoming State Officer Candidate School and was commissioned as Second Lieutenant to the Wyoming Army National Guard on July 1982. And upon his retirement, Major General Ed Wright completed 31 years of service with the Wyoming Army National Guard and 33 years of total military service. And whereas during his tenure as Adjutant General, Major Ed Wright has been responsible for many accomplishments, including 20 deployments of the Wyoming National Guard, totaling more than 4,500 soldiers and airmen, and he expanded the Camp Guernsey training areas by more than 35,000 acres, resulting in more than 900,000 training days by military personnel from Wyoming, the nation, and across the world. And whereas Major General Wright established the 84th Civil Support Team, a 22-person full-time Wyoming National Guard unit, which provides state-of-the-art assistance to the Wyoming first responders, and he established the active association relationship with the U.S. Air Force 30th Air Force Squadron an active duty unit under the operational control of the Wyoming Air National Guard, which is the first unit of its kind in the United States. And whereas his coordination with the federal government during the base alignment and closure process resulted in 4 additional C-130 aircraft and 2 new buildings in the Air National Guard, and whereas he garnered additional federal support to construct the new $44 million Army Aviation Support Facility and a $40 million Joint Forces Readiness Center, which are both located at F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne, and Major General Ed Wright was instrumental in securing and funding for Camp Guernsey land purchases, refurbishing of the Casper Gillette Wheatland Wyoming National Guard Army's refurbishing of buildings of Camp Guernsey, significant upgrades to the Camp Guernsey airfield. Major General Wright has always been supportive of the employees of the soldiers and airmen to ensure that they were properly recognized for the role they play in assisting the employees to serve in the Wyoming National Guard. Major General Wright's vision and leadership contributed to many accomplishments, including increasing the scope of the Wyoming Veterans Commission, upgrading the chapel in Oregon Trail State Veterans Cemetery, assisting with Fremont County floods in 2010, established the Wyoming National Guard Youth Challenge Program, setting up a viable state partnership with Tunisia. And whereas General Wright continued service to Wyoming and the nation has reflected great credit upon Wyoming, the nation, and the soldiers and airmen of the Wyoming Guard, and General Ed Wright will receive an honorary promotion to Lieutenant General on the occasion of his retirement, which will be bestowed upon him by the governor, accordance with Wyoming Senate, or Wyoming Statute 1910-112. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming, the members of the Wyoming State Legislature hereby praise and commend the Adjutant General of Wyoming, Major Ed Wright, for his dedication to duty, selfless service, and tireless devotion to ensuring the readiness of the Wyoming National Guard and improving the lives of American citizens and soldiers and airmen. We do hereby congratulate Major General Wright with, on this occasion, on, of his retirement from the Wyoming National Guard, that this resolution be presented to General Major Ed Wright, the Adjutant General of Wyoming, on behalf of the patriotic soldiers, airmen, civilian employees, and their families, employees as an expression of the legislature's gratitude for his dedication, for your dedication, and to the residents of the state of nation of the world. It's hereby signed by myself and by the good speaker. General Wright, all I can say in addition to that is simply thank you. I hope that you would take this, and you can have a few words if you like.
Hey! Oh!
It's not good to surprise a general. This came as a complete surprise. I won't tell you. I don't know how the conspirators got away with this without my knowing, but they pulled it off. Let me tell you what an honor this is, a personal honor. I tell you, serving as the Adjutant General has been the highlight of my military and personal career. Meg and I have enjoyed every moment of it. The ability to do anything at all that you can for the young men and women of the military is a privilege by itself, and we have enjoyed every aspect of the job. I've enjoyed particularly working with the legislature and our state elected officials and elected officials around the state. I can tell you as we went through that list of things. There's not a single item on that list that could have been accomplished without the support of the legislature and the men and women in this body and across the hallway. So I thank you on behalf of the men and women of the Guard and the military across this nation for everything that you do and the sacrifices that you make on behalf of our state and nation. So thank you very much for this. Thanks.
And General Wright, as he makes his way back here, I have a couple other things to say. Before you leave, General, we do appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning, and we thank you for your tremendous leadership and for your service to the Wyoming Military Department, our state, and our nation, and may we wish you the best of luck as you join the ranks of retirement. We do have some enrolled acts. While we're getting to that, I'll call on Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, there's a rumor above you that we have students from Roosevelt High School in Casper. Would you help me give them a good Senate welcome?
Good morning and welcome, students. We hope that you have an enjoyable day. Signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act Number 78.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 78, being original Senate File 58, an act relating to industrial siding.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 78, original Senate File 58. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 79.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 79, being original Senate File 90, an act relating to Wyoming Nurse Practice Act.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 79, original Senate File 90. Have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 80.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 80, being original Senate File 91, and act relating to wildlife livestock disease research partnership.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 80, original Senate File 91. Senate Enrolled Act 80. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act 80, original Senate File 91. Senate Enrolled Act Number 81.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 81, being original Senate File 109, an act relating to peace officers.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 81, original Senate File 19. Senate File 109. Enrolled Act 81, original Senate File 109, I have so signed. Bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a third reading consent list for us this morning?
I do, Mr. President. Third reading consent list for today is as follows. House Bill 90, Vehicle Restoration. House Bill 103, WICHE Repayment Program. House Bill 141, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Hospital Employees. House Bill 161, Interstate Compact on Students of Military Families. House Bill 178, Vaults, Crypts, Mausoleums, Perpetual Trust Funds. House Bill 189, Foreclosure and Redemption Revisions. House Bill 194, Next of Kin, Driver's License Option. House Bill 204, Patriotism in the Classroom. House Bill 208, Off-Road Vehicle Registration Exemption. House Bill 209, Emergency Medical Review Organizations, House Bill 224, Platted Plots Requirement, and House Bill 256, Wyoming Safe Homes Act 2.
Would any member like to have any of these removed from the consent list? Senator Jennings.
House Bill 161.
House Bill 161 has been removed. Senator Case.
House Bill 204, Patriotism in the Classroom.
House Bill 204 has been removed. Senator Scott.
House Bill 141, please.
House Bill 141 has been removed. Are there any other requests to have bills removed from the consent list? Seeing none. House Bill 90, House Bill 103, House Bill 178, House Bill 189, House Bill 194, House Bill 208, House Bill 209, House Bill 224, and House Bill 256. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 90, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 90, 30 ayes. House Bill 103, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 103, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 178, are there any changes? Closing vote. Meyer, aye to no.
Scott, aye to no.
Scott, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 178, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 189, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 189, 30 ayes. House Bill 194, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 194, 30 ayes. House Bill 208, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 208, 30 ayes. House Bill 209, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 209, 30 ayes. House Bill 224, are there any changes? Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 224, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 256, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Bebout, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 256, 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 90, House Bill 103, House Bill 178, House Bill 189, House Bill 194, House Bill 208, House Bill 209, House Bill 224, and House Bill 256 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading and final passage. House Bill 141, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 141, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Hospital Employees, an act relating to governmental immunity, sponsored by Representative Connolly, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Scott, would you like to speak to this bill?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think we ought to stop and think what we're doing here for a moment. As I read the bill, what we're doing is we're saying that a governmental entity is liable for damages resulting from a violation of 35-2910B. And that relates to health care facilities. So in terms of governmental facilities, we're probably talking about a few of our state facilities, such as the nursing home and Basin the state hospital, et cetera. And then we're talking about the other governmental facilities, healthcare, the various hospital districts and the hospitals they have. And what we're saying is if there's a whistleblower, we're waiving immunity. Now, that makes sense on the face of it. And when you look at the statute that's referred to, it says healthcare facilities subject to license pursuant to this act shall not harass, threaten, discipline, or in any manner discriminate against any resident, patient, or employee of any healthcare facility reporting the division of violation, federal, state law, rule, and regulation. Mr. President, the fear I have, and why I think we better discuss this a little, is that if you have an employee who knows they are at risk for being dismissed, they need to find some violation. And, Mr. President, I can tell you our rules and regulations are so complicated in these health care facilities, you can always find something that you can allege a violation of. So you report that, and then you claim your dismissal was because of this, and what you've done is invited the trial bar to prey on our health care facilities, prey on our general fund, and made it very difficult for a health care facility to discharge an employee because they've got this unlimited liability with this particular provision. And I don't, maybe there's some limits on it, but I don't see where they are when you got the statement of governmental entity is liable. I think you're throwing this pretty wide open, and I think we better discuss and see what we're really doing, and are we throwing it really wide open before we pass this bill.
Other discussion in regard to House Bill 141? Senator Hastert, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, in our Code of Civil Procedures, governmental claims, 139.105, we have the language is consistent with all of these sections. In liability operation of motor vehicle, the government entity is liable for damage. 139.106, liability buildings, recreation areas, public parks, a government entity is liable for damages. Liability airports, same language. 139.107, 108, 109, and it continues on to, 112. It's the exact same consistent language, and statute 139.104A, a government entity and its public employees, while acting within the scope of duties, are granted immunity, Mr. President, from liability for any tort except as provided in 139.105 and then through 139.112. We have already created 139.109A, a waiver of immunity when public employee causes bodily injury, wrongful death, or property damage in a medical facility. By adding the subsection B of 139.109, liability medical facilities, which incorporates any references to 35.2109B, protects health care facility residents, patients, or employees from harassment, disciplinary threats, and discrimination when they report a violation of the state, federal law, rules, or the regulations. Well, Mr. President, what we're doing is just very consistent. We've already created, the portion of this, and it's just, and it falls right in line with our statutes. And I'd ask you to support the bill.
Senator Rossbus.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to clarify and remind the body of some of the testimony that we heard the other day, we just heard from the good senator from Natrona County that this would be an unlimited liability, but my understanding, based on testimony from some of our more legally minded folks in the room, indicates that it would, in fact, be a $250,000 maximum on the liability unless there is insurance in place, at which point it would be to the limit of the insurance. If my understanding on that's mistaken, Mr. President, then perhaps we could have some more clarification, but that's how I understand the particular provision.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I thank the senator for that clarification. I think he's right. that is the, and since they mostly would have insurance, it would be the upper limit. And I still wonder, with the mechanics of how this works, with the other sections, you're talking about, now, for example, with a motor vehicle accident, you've got measurable damages. And that seems only reasonable. But in this section, the risk is that because our laws are so complex that you can almost always find some kind of a violation to allege, that what you're doing is you're tending to legislate a permanent tenure for employees, because if they fear that they might be at risk, all they have to do is file some kind of a report, and then you've got a prolonged legal action and the settlement process that will tend to inhibit our health care facilities from taking some of the personnel actions that they need to keep all of us safe. And I really wonder about doing that, whether we aren't inviting quite a bit of trouble with this particular act.
Other discussion? Senator Rothfuss, go ahead. Second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just quickly on the second time. That concern I can understand, but it is a relatively extreme case, Mr. President. And beyond that, the language currently in statute would allow for that just as much as the language that we're trying to modify. What we're trying to do is provide the possibility of the financial recourse through the courts, but the courts could still be there just without the financial recourse. It's effectively a tweak and a cleanup of previous language that's already existing. So we're allowing for that financial liability of the government to be in place that I believe was originally intended in the whistleblower statute, Mr. President. It was perhaps an oversight. Maybe it wasn't. The good senator from Turner County was probably here when that was drafted, so he knows better than I. But the reality is the concern that he's expressing could go on with or without this particular amendment, so I'm not sure it's germane to what we've been discussing, Mr. President.
Ready for the question? Senator Hastert, second time.
You know, this is just – this has very limited applicability, and it's just designed to close a loophole, Mr. Chairman – or Mr. President. The loophole had the purpose of, you know, frustrating legislative intent. Without the waiver in subsection B, a public employee has immunity from this actions, the legislature is already prohibited. So, Mr. Chairman, this is just almost like cleanup, if you will, just adds that section in. Just when residents, employees, and patients of a health care facility report to the division of violation, they should be, you know, allowed or not, they should be free from, you know, harassment or threatening or discriminate to receive immunity for the actions. So, Mr. Chairman, it's just, or Mr. President, it's just simply to close up a loophole.
Okay. House Bill 141. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk, call roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing. Cooper, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
House Bill 141 having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 141 has failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 147, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 147, Excise Tax Vendor Compensation, an act relating to taxation and revenue, sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
House Bill 147, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 3.
Senator Meyer, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 147. And, Mr. President, just like me, I think this bill needed a little haircut. So, Mr. Chairman, this is what this does. It goes into the BBOT amendment and cuts it from $500 to $400. That is roughly a little over $8 million in annual sales. As you recall the history of this, we started out at about $3 million in annual sales. The BBOT amendment went up to $12 million. This takes it back down to around $8 million. It also has two other provisions, Mr. President, and I'll call the body's attention to that. These are capping provisions, Mr. President. And on line 16, on page 2, line 20, in line 31, page 4, line 10, this is where the caps come in. It says, no credit shall be allowed under this paragraph if the total credit as determined under this paragraph would exceed $400. So, Mr. President, those two provisions, I believe, stand by themselves. They're a separate subject. And what that does is basically say if you're a company that has over that roughly $8 million of annual sales, then you're going to not be able to avail yourselves of this funds to pay you to collect the taxes for the state of Wyoming. So, Mr. President, I think it tries to go in there and find the right temperature for the porridge, and that's what it does, and puts a cap in.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to divide the amendment. I think it's divisible if you go 1 through 30, and then it would be Division 1, and then 31 through 35 would be Division 2. I think that tracks, Mr. President.
Mr. President, allow me to, if one is the cap for use, one is for sales, so the proper division would be line 16 through 20, and 31 through 35.
I believe that's correct. What the sponsor said. Would you like to repeat that, the division again? Why don't you repeat the division for Senator Meyer?
Five, and I want to make sure, Mr. Chairman, we don't have to pull in anything in lines 1 through 8 in that. Mr. Chairman, I think we'd have to pull in lines 4 and 5 in that division, except insert providing an exception, and I think that is the exception on lines 16 through 20 and lines 31 through 35. So the first division would be lines 4 and 5, 16 through 20, and 31 through 35. And the second division would be the balance of the amendment.
Senator Bebout, you still desire to divide that amendment? And I think that would be then probably a more appropriate division.
Mr. President, I'd make that as a motion to divide those being the two divisions and Senator
okay.
Be back.
So the amendment has been divided. Speak to the first division if you'd like.
Well, Mr. President, just to make the body aware, what this does is set a cap that says that anybody over that has monthly sales over that $400 threshold would not be able to avail themselves of any of the $400 or any of the credits. So rather than $400 going on to out to 48 or 50 or $100 million worth of annual sales, they simply, everyone would be capped at the first $8 million. And if you went over that, then you wouldn't be eligible for the money to collect sales tax for the state.
Staff clear in regard to what that division is? Okay. Senator Peterson, let's go ahead and talk about Division 1.
I don't care. Division 1. The cap is a concern. First of all, Mr. President, if this was a little haircut, I'd hate to have my good colleague be my barber. I'd be fearful of what I'd look like as I came out of a shop. The cap is a concern in the fact that what we're trying to do is provide an incentive for these good businesses to file before the 15th. What this does is actually, as we cross that line, let's say if I have annual sales of $9 million, maybe to fudge a little bit to get my $400 credit. And so I think it's an invitation for fraud, and we don't want that. We don't want our businesses to be forced with that decision of saying, you know, I'm borderline. If I squib just a little bit, I'll get my $400 credit. For the amount that we're talking about, it's just not worth it. It's just, you know, I was figuring in my head that this bill went from, I think it was $1,500 down to $1,000 for the credit, and then now we're down to $500, now we're down to $400, and this cap is not serving the purpose of or the intent of this bill at all. So I'd ask for the body's resistance to this amendment.
First Division, Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. President, on the First Division. I, too, ask you to resist this. First of all, we know our colleague, it's a third reading amendment. This is only one page. We know he's capable of much greater work than that. And I think we should hold him to the standard that he's established. One page, that's nothing. But it's neither here nor there in the sands of time. But the other thing is, we track this. We can come back. Let's give it some experience. And let's see if it really does work. Going to the businesses we want targeted, which is that we call them the Main Street businesses. That's who we should be trying to nurture. And that's what this does. The $500 cap, I think, is an incentive, or at least a recognition. Folks, you're doing a good job for our Main Streets. To lower it to $400 when it's come down from actually $1,000.
Senator Scott?
Is this on Division 1?
I think I'm on Division 1, which is the $400 cap. I'm not on Division 1.
Senator Scott is correct. The $400 amount.
I'm on which?
Well, you started out on Division 1 and you kind of slid over into Division 2. So.
Okay, I will not slide over in Division 2 anymore, Mr. President. If I only had four more pages to this amendment, I'd be more comfortable. But I urge you to resist Division 1. Let's move it as is. And we can come back in a year or 2 years, and let's see if it really does what we wanted it to do. In terms of our budget, it's a pittance in the budget of this state, and I think we should let it go forward and check on it, give it a year, and see how it's working.
Any other discussion regarding the First Division? Question being called. All those in favor of the First Division, Division 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No. Division 1 has failed. We're now back on the remainder of the amendment. Any discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, now, this is the division where we're taking how much we're going to pay on it from the $500 that's there now to $400. Mr. President, I think this is a reasonable proposal. What it means is that we're going to target the bill a little more to the Main Street businesses. It's going to cost the state a little less lost tax revenue, but it's going to accomplish the main job of the bill, which is to help some of our smaller Main Street merchants who really do need the help because of the way the sales tax system discriminates against them. And I would urge us to adopt this amendment.
Any other discussion regarding the second division?
Oh, Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the division, I mean, one of the things, if you remember back to the testimony we had, is this is incentive to get people to pay their taxes earlier. And by paying the taxes earlier, the state has the use of that money. And I think if I remember the testimony we had from our in some of our earlier debate, was that actually the state would have the advantage of having the use of that money, and it more than likely offsets whatever the cost is. The more that we reduce the cap, the less incentive there is to pay it early, particularly with the larger amounts. So at some point we have diminishing returns where it really won't make any difference because the incentive is not big enough to get the money there early anyway. But as we continue to whittle away at this, at some point you have to wonder if we should do it at all because there isn't anything really that we're doing. But on and against the amendment, let's see if it works, and let's see if we can get tax receipts in earlier so that the state can have the use and the advantage of that money.
So, Senator Bebout, Division 2, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge the body to defeat this amendment. Excuse me. We had some good discussion yesterday about the 1,000 versus the 500, and I thought we made a good compromise. The one thing I would bring up as another point that we should leave it at 500. If you look at a lot of our businesses in the state that have a lot of retail, and they have a lot of volume coming through their business, And certainly in those businesses, the volume could be substantially more than the $8 million just because given the nature of the type of business they're in. So let's not go against those type of businesses that have that exposure and retail that they have high volumes, and let's allow them to participate. So I think that $500 value really brings them into the fold, and I would encourage the body to leave it as it is.
Anyone else would like to speak to Division 2? Question being called. Yes, go ahead, Senator Meyer.
There's a little discussion about whether or not the state's going to make money on this deal, actually. And if you run the numbers, the state's going to get about, if you figure 8% interest, the state's going to get about $227. And the merchant is from that $400. And so the balance of that is, what, $163.73, something like that. So, Mr. President, the long and short of it is that it's going to be more advantageous for people not to take advantage of this and just to save the money because they won't be paying that state share. They can keep that money and invest it themselves just as well as the state. So, you know, frankly, I think when you start getting up into these higher figures, you're not even going to see these folks use this, because they might as well keep the money and invest the money themselves rather than give it to the state. So it's going to be more or less self-regulating around that figure, maybe even less than $8 million if you put a pencil to it. So I guess vote it up, vote it down. Wherever we're at, this thing will probably end up in a committee of six someplace, and they'll be discussing it again.
Question. In regard to third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 147, the second division, all those in favor of this division, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The second division has failed as well. Back on the bill. Senator Rossis, on the bill.
On the bill, Mr. President. Thank you. I just want to remind the body a perspective that we heard on first reading on this, but haven't talked much about since. This is a loss of revenue to the state. At this point in time, we don't know how much revenue. We know that it started off at $7 million. We know we've cut it. We've heard no numbers since then, Mr. President, about how much it's going to cost the state. We know that this doesn't have a sunset, so this is lost revenue in the form of a tax that we currently have in place. A few years down the road, if we need an extra $4 million or whatever this is going to end up costing us, I don't think we're going to want to vote to get rid of it at that point, because at that point it will be a tax increase, and that's how we'll be talking about it. So I understand that what we want to do right now is give an extra $20 a month to some businesses around the state to help out Main Street. The reality is I don't think we're really going to be helping them substantially, Mr. President, but I do know that when we talked about a lot of programs that made a lot of difference to this body when we were looking at the budget, a lot of those programs came in at a few million dollars, and we had to cut some of those programs, some programs that I think a lot of us didn't want to see cut and die on the floor, unfortunately, but we did. We had to make those hard choices because we didn't have the $4 to $7 million. We're cutting another $4 to $7 million here. Again, I don't know how many million. I have no idea because we haven't heard that in this debate. But we're cutting it. And we're not going to be able to get it back easily. So what you can think is that if we give this tax cut now, we're cutting another program next year, Mr. President. And I'm not willing to do that, and I hope the body isn't willing to do that either. It sounds good. Tax cuts always sound good. But the tax cut comes at the cut of another program, Mr. President.
Go to Senator Dockstetter, and then we'll go to Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Earlier in the session, too, if we're referencing back to earlier pieces of legislation, we talked about helping Wyoming and its communities, and I think if we take a solid look at this and look what it's doing for Wyoming's Main Street communities, we would have to step in line with this piece of legislation and make sure that we really, truly help Wyoming's communities and Wyoming's Main Street. On and forward, Bill.
Senator Cooper, go ahead.
Mr. President, well, members of the Senate, it's interesting how over the years this very body has given millions and millions of dollars worth of exemptions to large corporations that many of who are not even in this state at the time, who we are trying to incentivize them to come to this state. As a matter of fact, in this body in this year, we've actually done legislation for the Ivory Towers area of the state to the tune of many millions of dollars. And it's interesting how we do that, but we do very little for those business people in our state that actually create probably the majority of the jobs in this state. Somewhere the statistics say somewhere between 70 and 75% of the jobs in most states, and probably including this one, they're created by small businesses, those little people who hire 4 or 5 people, 10 or 11 or 12 maybe. And this is an incentive for them. This is something we can do for those businesses in our state. And I would appreciate it if you would support this bill.
Senator Nicholas?
Well, I can see where this is going. I see there's support for this. But to suggest that this is an incentive or a for these folks to keep money that belongs to them. You know, if you want to give a tax break, then lower the sales tax rate so I pay less tax and I'll keep it in my own pocket. As between the merchant and me, I'll work out with him what the price is for the goods that I purchased and the relationship between us. But if you want to give a tax break, give a tax break to the people that paid the tax. But don't collect a tax from me and then give it to back to the merchant that I just paid and I have a separate relationship with.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, we've covered this ground before. You know, this tax would be a fair tax if competition didn't have much to do with the market that we're all in. But because there's competition there's reduction in margin of profit. And so I still argue the fact that the tax is paid by the businesses that are collecting and trying to make this profit and sacrificing more of their margin, trying to compete with these out-of-state businesses that don't have the sales tax. So this, again, is just a fairness issue. It's a recognition. It's a recognition that we have employees out there around our state collecting taxes for us. They're going uncompensated. And it's just a recognition that we want to recognize those businesses and say, you know, we understand what you're doing. We appreciate it. It's not much. $20 in some cases, $40 in others, $400 in some. But regardless of the amount, it's just a recognition of we appreciate the job, we appreciate you staying in Wyoming and doing business in Wyoming, and here's our thanks. It's a fairness issue. It's a recognition of the work that they do for the state in collecting our tax, and I'd appreciate your consideration on this good bill.
Question on the bill. House Bill 147, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Hines,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
No. Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross, conflict,
conflict.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 6 noes, 1 conflict.
House Bill 147, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 147 has passed the Senate. House Bill 161, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 161, Interstate Compact on Students of Military Families, an act relating to education, sponsored by Representative Illaway. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
No amendments. Would anyone like to speak to House Bill 161? Senator Johnson, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I must tell you that I stood when the President asked for those to be removed from the consent list, but my good friend from Natrona County was faster than I was. I was going to ask for it to be removed. If I can have a little latitude at first here, Mr. President, I was told yesterday that there were those who thought, when I testified at the beginning, that the consent of Congress came after the compacts were approved by the states. And if that is true, what I remember saying was that the compacts are approved before the states are allowed to vote on it. But when there's a conflict, is what I say what you hear? And the answer is no, then it's my fault, so I would apologize. I would read Article 1, Section, the last paragraph in Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops, or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with any other state, or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit delay. So Congress has already approved this interstate compact. Now let's go back to the compact itself, Mr. President. The concept is great. The concept is wonderful. We're taking care of the military dependents, the students who have not been very well taken care of since the beginning of the Cold War. I grew up in a military town. I live in a military town here, and I see what happens to those students because of the constant transfers of their parents. The compact was carefully designed by a committee from CSG, Council of State Governments, and the Department of Defense. That's who wrote it. Those two organizations, those two entities. However, talking with our LSO staff, who have just, the work has been incredible on trying to work away with this. There's too many conflicts between Wyoming statute and what's in the compact. And their feeling, which I agree, is we ought to put this thing to sleep, not kill it, put it to sleep, and see if the compact entities will negotiate with us so that it fits into the Wyoming Constitution in all of the places that it touches, and do that over the summer. And then if we can come to a compromise, come to an agreement, if they allow that and it's successful, it can be brought back at the budget session, and hopefully we'll be able to get a two-thirds vote on that. But as it stands right now, Mr. President, I ask that the Senate please put this thing to sleep for the rest of this year.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? House Bill 161. Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Barnard. Bebout. Burns. Case. Christensen. Coe. Cooper. Dockstader. Driscoll. Emmerich. Esquibel. Geis. Hastert. Hicks. Hines. Jennings. Johnson. Landon. Martin. Meyer. Nicholas. Nutting. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Rothfuss. Schiffer. Scott. Von Flatern. President Anderson. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. One aye, 29 noes.
House Bill 161, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 161 has failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 204, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 204, Patriotism in the Classroom, an act relating to public schools, sponsored by Representative Gay. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Case, would you like to speak to the bill?
I would, Mr. President. Thank you. Mr. President, I know that everybody in this room is proud of this country. And I know that the Senate and the legislature and the people of Wyoming all share a great love for democracy, for the symbols of that democracy, and for all the things that this country stands for, Mr. President. And the very best way to convey that proudness and that patriotism to our young people, perhaps like the young people that are watching us now from the balcony, is by example, Mr. President. Simply by example. There is no government in the world that can compel patriotism. And once you require citizens to be patriotic, that government loses the hearts of those citizens. It wouldn't work for adults, Mr. President, if all of us, the way to ensure that we would not stand and salute the flag and so proudly stand together and revere this country and its symbols, the way to ensure that we would not continue to do that would be to mandate that that be done, because it would begin the unraveling of those feelings and the good things that that country stands for. And we wouldn't do it for adults. We wouldn't do it for the Senate. We wouldn't make them do it. But somehow we think that because we won't do it for adults, we will mandate it for children in the classroom. It's no different. We lead those children by example. The symbols, the pledge, patriotism, it comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the law, and we cannot dictate it. Once we begin to dictate it, we undermine the very things that that country stands for.
Any other discussion? House Bill 204. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer? Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
House Bill 204. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 204 has failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 260, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 260, Industrial Siding Financial Resources, an act relating to industrial siding, sponsored by Representative Stubson, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
House Bill 260, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 9.
Senator Case, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 260. Mr. President, this bill would reduce the demonstration of financial resources that applicants would have to demonstrate in order to receive a siting permit. And, Mr. President, I believe that that is fully the wrong thing to do. And I think that there should be consequences to companies that no longer have the financial wherewithal to maintain their operations, and that should have an implication with respect to receiving a permit. So that's what this amendment does, Mr. President. It brings in the issue, the part of the statute that deals with the revocation or the suspension of permits, and it provides for that prior to constructing the facility, if any kind of upheaval occurs in the company's financials, whether through dissolution, termination, bankruptcy, foreclosure, a sale of the assets, or the Mr. President, that in any of those instances, the permit would be revoked and the company would have to reapply for them if they're still financially capable. Obviously, if they're not financially capable, they wouldn't be able to do that. That's the amendment, Mr. President. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Senator Perkins, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Against the amendment, I understand what the good bringer of the amendment is trying to do and applaud that. A couple of things. First of all, when you go and you interfere with these things, when you have a construction project of a wind energy facility or any other industrial facility that you have, typically you have a very large general contractor. Right now, with respect to wind, there's about four or five very large contractors that have hundreds of millions of dollars a year in revenue. There's only about four of them out there, and every one of those, and I have had some personal experience in actually reviewing some of the contracts associated with the construction of some wind energy facilities in the president's home county. There is a performance or completion bond that's instituted in those, just like you would in about any other construction project. So there's a construction, when you start construction, there's a bond out there that ensures that that's done, and if it's not finished, then there's someone who comes in and takes over and make sure that it is finished. The bonding company, the banks, the people who've loaned the money and financed that, they're the ones that are going to insist on that bond, and they're going to come in. Now, what this amendment does is in that very instance where there's a performance bond, they can't come in and take over because now the permit's gone. We've taken the ability away from a creditor to come in and take over and fully run the operation. We've taken away that right with this amendment by saying oops, there's a change in what's going on, and now there's a change in who's going to be operating this, and you can't run it now. And it seems to me that's the exact opposite of what we ought to be doing. What I think the biggest issue with this bill, I think, is about, and with this amendment goes right to it, is how do you stop somebody from flipping this? How do you stop somebody from going out and getting a permit and then coming in and simply flipping this? And so they don't have the financial wherewithal to build it, but meanwhile they've taken up the time and the efforts of the Industrial Siting Commission. They've got quality air permits. They've got quality water permits out there, and they've kind of taken those things up. And what do we do then? And certainly this would be helpful. The amendment would be helpful in that regard, except for the things we've talked about. I would tell you that having talked with some more since our last meeting about this, Mr. President, that in rules now it's 3 years. You've got to begin construction and undertake to put this project in under the existing rules of the Industrial Siting Commission within 3 years, or they're going to revoke the permit. Additionally, so when you come on this, while I appreciate the spirit in which it's given and I understand what they're trying to do, I think in the ultimate, I think when you look at the unintended consequence, we've actually stalled and probably ruined the opportunity for not just the development of wind, but of any other industrial facility, any other, you know, whether it's a new mine in Uinta County, whether it's the unmothballing of a plant in Goshen County, whether it's whatever the facility is, a coal mining facility in Campbell County, we're undermining that and the ability of these entities now, if there's a switch, if there's a merger, if there's a buyout, all of a sudden we're looking at the permit being potentially revoked because there's going to be a change. And so I understand that, but I think the unintended consequences are pretty far-reaching, not only for the wind energy industry, but for the entire state and all industries that have facilities that might fall into the Industrial Siting Council. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. And we had some good discussion on this particular bill in Committee of the Whole, and I had some concerns about eliminating this language. But as I look at this amendment, I think it really puts yourself, putting the companies in a bad position. just follow through with me for a little bit. If my permit and my application was a substantial asset that I had, and whether it be an LLC or whatever type of entity that I did have, and I was out looking for some partners, and in that discussion I found a major company, and we all know what's going on in the world of business now. There's a lot of these things are buying and selling, that you would really take away my major asset if it more than 50% of the sale occurred. And I think that puts me as a person who wants to develop that wind or any other thing in a bad position. And this does include the entire Industrial Siting Act. It's just not for wind, it's for everything. So for those last two items, C and D, I really think it goes contrary to what I think would be good policy by the state. I would ask you to defeat the amendment.
Any other discussion? Go ahead, second time, Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President, I point out that the revocation or the suspension is permissive. It says that the council may revoke or suspend. That's lines 10 of the amendment. Mr. President, the bill is about demonstrating financial wherewithal to, current law says construct, maintain, operate, and decommission a project. It's being proposed to change that, Mr. President, to eliminate construct, maintain, and operate. Mr. President, I have concerns about that. And without the tool of being able to revoke when the company no longer has that financial wherewithal, or it's sold to partners that may no longer have that financial wherewithal, that causes me great concern, Mr. President. Okay, so it's sold. Doesn't prevent somebody from coming in and re-demonstrating the financial wherewithal. They could certainly do that. But what happens if the financials weaken? This bill weakens it already, and it doesn't leave you with any recourse. I would vote for the amendment, and we'll discuss the bill in a minute.
Question on the amendment. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 260. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We are now back on the bill. Is there further discussion on the bill?
Mr. President.
Go ahead, Senator Case, on the bill.
Thank you. Mr. President. You know, we're only a state of 500,000 people, and we have small communities. We created the Industrial Siting Act to make sure that the impacts of development are handled and maintained, and the communities would get upfront money to deal with things, and that people wouldn't be left holding the bag, or government wouldn't be left holding the bag. Last year, this bill was amended to deal with new types of development that are coming into Wyoming. And the sponsors and all of us stood on this floor, and we agreed that we needed this language that's in the bill. We agreed that we needed it because of the new types of development that we're facing. Unbelievable amount of development if we ever get the transmission network upgraded to where it can sustain the development. It's going to be gigantic. And, Mr. President, we said at that time that we needed the ability to see the things through from beginning to end, that the financial resources should be demonstrated to be able to see it through from beginning to end. Well, this severely weakens that, Mr. President. And, you know, we are left with the, you know, we're sort of changing course when the ink is barely dry from the law that we put in last year. And I would urge us not to go down this road.
Senator Netting.
Mr. President, may I ask for reconsideration on the amendment, please?
Not appropriate. Question being called on the bill. House Bill 260. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern, President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
House Bill 260, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 260 has failed to pass the Senate. Florida, we have a couple enrolled acts that we're going to take care of here. House Enrolled Act number 79.
House Enrolled Act number 79, being original House Bill 8, an act relating to food.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 79, original House Bill 8. I have so signed. House Joint Resolution number 1.
House Joint Resolution number 1, being original House Joint Resolution 1, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to expand the authority of district court commissioners.
I'm about to sign House Joint Resolution 1, original House Joint Resolution number 1.
So signed. Senate Enrolled Act 82.
Senate Enrolled Act 82, being original Senate File 132, and Act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 82, original Senate File 132. I have so signed. Anything else? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk for the morning.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Scott?
Mr. President, Conference Committee on Senate File 102, Medicaid Cost Study, 1 p.m., I expect we'll meet up in the Senate Labor Committee room unless we go over to the House Labor Committee room. It'll be one of the two places. On Conference Committee on Senate File 50, the Medicaid Option Study, on adjournment of both houses this afternoon. Again, expect we'll meet in the Senate Labor Committee room unless we go over the House.
Senator Geis?
Mr. President, your Select Committee on Water will meet at 12 noon up in S-15 to elect chairmen and handle whatever business the Select Water has on the agenda today.
Any other announcements? Senator Burns?
Mr. President, I've got two announcements. One is there'll be a brief meeting of the Senate TRW committee meeting here immediately upon recess. It'll be about 5 minutes. And your conference committee on Senate File 85 will meet at 1:15 up in room S-14.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, your management council will be meeting at on adjournment today to consider interim topics for the various committees.
Are there any other announcements? I know there's a number of conference committees. Senator Coe, why don't you take Senator Martin's mic, and I'll turn you on there. Go ahead, Senator Coe.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Senate File 70, the Accountability Bill, will meet on adjournment in S-10 over there, or S-11, whatever it is.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hicks.
Conference Committee on House Bill 1215 in S-1.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Senators, when you come down here, sometimes people tell you that if you need a friend, you should have a pet. Well, I found a new friend, and I've been kind of sorry. I've been kicking him around all morning. But if anybody is lacking, I'd be glad to loan you my friend. You've heard the motion, being that the Senate stand at recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has carried.
Here we are.